Hello. All right, ladies. While we're waiting for more women to come in, I thought we would do a fun top five. Top five chores we love to hate. What would our top five chores that we love to hate be? Wait. Let's put a couple ideas on here, and then we'll arrange them. First one we want to put up here. Oh, laundry. Oh, this black marker. You do not win. All right. Laundry. Hold on. Washing or folding or all of it? All. Y'all are funny. Dusting. Anyone don't like to? All right. I'll put dusting up here. Dusting. There's too much to dust. All right. Specifically, y'all know I have three teenage boys. Shower. 100% shower. Shower. Two more. What are the other two? Oh, dishes is my least favorite chore. Dishes? Oh, my gosh. Okay, all right. What's another one? Yes. Vacuuming. Interesting. Hold on. F-A-C-C. That's right. Oh, my gosh. Wait, one C, two U's? That's okay. Y'all like that wonderful handwriting? Wait, anything else? Oh, litter box. Would y'all put litter box on here for the cat people? Man, you all know that I am the one at our house cleaning out that litter box. I am the one. Any other least? Your husband does all the cleaning. Rebecca, you win tonight. You just won the award. You, toilets, wait, is toilets up here? It should be? Okay. Toilets should be up here. You know what? What about, like, cleaning your oven? Things like that. Who does? I need to do that. Baseboards? Any of you all baseboard cleaners? Any of you? Walls? Oh, yeah, I would put walls. We do not even clean the walls. Yeah, Pastor Katie's not here, but she loves to clean. Any of you love to clean? Any of you clean people that love to clean? What? No, own it. If you love to clean, raise your hand. You clean a lot, I think. We've talked about this. Anyone move piles around their house? I'm a pile mover. So it's so funny. One time, a woman from the church, she had to drop something off at my house, and she came in. She goes, wow, you make me feel good. And I was like, wow. I said, which I'd open about it. My house is clean, but lived in clean, okay? And I said, I know, I should make you feel good with my dining table with the 10 loads of laundry on it. Amen. I got four kids at home. My house looks like we have four kids at home. Josh's mom, no lie, my husband's mom, Debbie, she's with Jesus now, she would vacuum and then you couldn't step on that carpet. Yeah, there was no stepping. I didn't even know. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. And then Josh married me, and I was like, okay, listen, we're all going to need some help here. All right, so top five. What would be our top five? Number five. This is hard. Oven. Yeah, 100%. We'll give oven number five. All right, number four. Oh, I know. Dishes is going up there for me. It's not number four. Wait, laundry, number four? The never-ending laundry? All right, number three. Oh, man. Who says shower for number three? This goes together? Okay, we'll do that. All right, number two to number one. Dishes, we'll do dishes number two. No, wait, dishes number one. Who's already saying dishes is number one? I agree with you on that. I'm just going to put you. A close second? Top five? Okay, all right. Now we'll do something healthy. This was just for us to vent for a minute, okay? We had our venting. We're going to get started in just a minute. Ladies, I'm so thankful that you all chose to be out here on this Wednesday night. If you do not know me, I am Anna Gresham. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am thrilled. All right, top five ways to encourage. Am I going to spell this right, you all? Maybe. To encourage other women. Top five ways to encourage other women. Compliments. I like it. How many likes a good... Wait, compliment. How do you spell compliment? C-O-M-P-L-I. Wait, compla. No, I'm too tired. My brain can't handle this right now. What am I doing wrong? C-O-M-P-L. Oh, that's right. Okay. What is happening right now? All right, next one. Oh, I like to write letters, like a nice note. A note. Okay, we'll do text. We'll do note. Or a text that's encouraging, right? What else? What else is encouraging? Top five ways to encourage women. Dex said memes. Anyone enjoy receiving a funny meme? Okay, I do too. That's super funny. Dex, you make me laugh. That makes me laugh too. All right, what else? Oh, a treat. Yes, yeah, yeah. Y'all, I love a treat or something special. All right, what else? Top five ways to encourage. It was easy to spout off all that cleaning we didn't like to do. Oh, like a gift basket? Oh, like a personal, like, gift. Yeah, or even a gift basket. I agree. I like that. An invitation? Invitation. You are invited. What about, hey, I'm praying for you. Like, yeah, prayer or scripture. What else? Ways to encourage other women. Hey, girl, shopping. Oh, yes, let's get shopping. What is happening? Oh, what is going on? Not everyone's a hugger. A good hug. I know some of you, I like just a good right there. Hanada gives, let me tell you something. In Brazil, they give you a hug within a hug. It's a double hug, okay? Best hugs I've ever had in my life have come from Brazil. Yes, 100%. Hugs. That does say hugs. It does. Anything else we want to add on our encouraging list? Oh, listen, hey. Oh, that, you know what? That's a big one, isn't it? Simply to listen. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Show up. Yeah. That makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah. This is what we're doing. This is simply, we're going to create, this is larger than top five. I'm not breaking this down because I love it. It makes me so happy. How many of us can say, you know what, this week I'm going to own one of those things and take the time to pour into another sister in the Lord? And if one of these pops out to you where you go, I can do that, write it down and be intentional to put it into action. Let's do that because we're hooking arms together. Now, did everyone receive a note card tonight? Oh, good. If you did not receive a note card, you need to let me know. We are ministering on praise this month. And what is this note card for? If you're new this week, we did this last week. On this note card, you are going to write a reason for why you are praising the Lord. And then the Lord's going to give you a scripture to have found a foundational tool through the Word of God for what your praise is for. Right? Because we know, once again, that this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the weapon that God has given us to combat every lie from the wicked one. And we are choosing to be women of praise. We are choosing to be women that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Tonight, as we go through, we're going to start off in Psalm 34 again, if you want to get your Bibles prepped and ready. This is our foundational scripture. Last week, we went through the first four verses. Tonight, we're going to go from verses 5 to 8. And then I have reasons for praising God. And then we're going to continue to talk about Hebrew words from the Old Testament of ways to praise the Lord. And then we have a main scripture set for praise being a weapon tonight that I'm extremely excited about. And it's one that you all love and you're going to be excited about it too. So we'll begin in Psalm 34. Before we get into that, we are going to pray and we're just going to commit this time to the Lord. Does that sound good? Does everyone just need to deep breath in, shake it out, get your eyes focused on Jesus? We're going to receive every good gift that he has for us tonight. So Heavenly Father, we just set our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, we look to you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, knowing that you have a word for us, knowing that you're doing a healing work in our lives, knowing that you are God and you are great and you are greatly to be praised. So Lord, we just thank you right now that we have open eyes to see, open ears to hear, and soften hearts to receive the word that you've given us. Holy Spirit, help me to minister to this word accordingly. Lord, help us to receive it. God, that our spirit man, we're awake and we're taking this word, and Lord, we're running with it. That we're choosing to be doers, that we're choosing to praise. So Lord, we love you, we praise you, we magnify your holy name. This is a good time just to tell the Lord you love him. Lord, I love you. Just open your mouth and tell him you love him. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. If you've not thanked him today, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new today. And Lord, I receive those new mercies. I thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Lord, you are God and you are good. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you've given us a voice to praise. And Lord, what comes out of our voice will be praise. Praise and thanksgiving and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right, Psalm chapter 34. Last week we discussed that this is David coming out of a challenging time in his life, running for his life. King Saul is after him. He's jealous. David had just been acting crazy in order to get out of another sticky situation, and he finds himself in this cave. And then in the cave, we have 400, which one commentary said losers, which sounds really harsh. It sounds very harsh. I was like, wow, that's in a commentary. But 400 desperate men that are in a challenging season themselves are in the cave with David. And David chose to praise in the cave. We're going to keep on praising in the cave tonight. Does that sound good, ladies? Okay, we're going to keep on praising in the cave. So let's dive through. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read in the Amplified, and then we're going to break it down and apply it and then move on. So here we go. Psalm chapter 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble and downtrodden will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us lift up his name together. I sought the Lord, and the Amplified, it says, on the authority of his word, and he answered me and delivered me from one of my fears. Is that what it says? Oh, all, that's right. The whole. From all of my fears. Verse 5, this is where we're going to start to break it down. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never blush in shame or confusion. Ladies, tonight we are looking to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the one writing your story. Some of you, you've been looking at your life thinking, how can this be my story? Well, it's not.
Your story is a story of redemption. Your story is a story of healing. Your story is a story of hope and restoration, of goodness, God's faithfulness. God's given us a new song tonight of praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because we're looking to Him. And when we look to Him, I love how it says that their faces will never blush in shame or confusion. Have you ever been in a situation and you come out of it very confused? Or you did not respond accordingly and you're feeling the guilt or the shame behind it? You know, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Shame is not a part of our story. Guilt is not a part of our story. Confusion is not of God. If you're in the middle of a confusing situation, it is time to set yourself apart and get your eyes on Jesus according to the authority of His word. Simply seeking His face. I like that in verse 5, it says, those who look to Him for help. That David is going from I to they. He's now taking it like, hey, this is you making a choice. I can't look for you, right? This is real personal. He's looking at these men saying, hey, this commentary calls you a loser. I mean, he didn't say that. But he recognized each one of us have to make that choice on who we're going to look to in this situation. And what I love about this, from the I to the they of them coming together, even though it's personal, we're not alone in needing to put our eyes on Jesus and ask for help. Have you ever been in a situation and you feel like you're the only one going through it? Isn't that just like Satan? The first thing he wants to do is isolate you and tell you you're all alone. No, it says they. We're personal, yeah. But we all need help. How many of us all need help from the Lord? Man, of who I'm looking to. Then I love the radiance. This isn't radiance from the world. This is radiance from God's glory. This is me being transformed in the same image as Christ Jesus from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. That whenever you seek after His face, who are you going to reflect? That's right. It's going to be His radiance that's on your life, which then will bring glory to God and be for your good. That's one of my personal prayers. God, I thank you that this is for your glory and my good. God, that this will bring glory to your name. And then I put on my notes, for me personally, trusting in God gives me confidence. If you've ever lacked confidence in a situation, it's time to move yourself out of the way. In my personal notes on my phone, on my Anna Meditate This, where I've got my scriptures and things that I'm speaking over my life, I have a phrase and it says, Anna, get out of the way. And I read it before I even go into my scriptures. Because I recognize that sometimes I can get in the way of myself and try to do it on my own. God didn't create us that way, did He? He wants us to be fully dependent on Him in our lives. Then we move on to verse 6. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. You know, I love Psalm 34 because that word all is very apparent. In my desperation, it says, I prayed or I cried out, and the Lord listened. In my desperation, the word of God is full of some desperate prayers. Hannah, desperate prayer. Have you been in a place where I have prayed that prayer of consecration so many times Do you know what the prayer of consecration is? Where Jesus in the garden and he says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That's the prayer of consecration. When essentially you have reached the end of yourself and you go, God, not my will, but your will be done. I release this unto you. Where you are just crying out to him for help in your life. And then the word saved there means delivered or to be safe. Do you ever just want to feel safe? To be rescued, that God is preserving you, that you have victory. And then I love that it even broke it down and said, in a wide or free place. That you're not held captive. By what? By the fear that he's delivered you from. That you're not held captive from the shame or the guilt or the condemnation. That you're not held captive from the sorrows of yesterday or the worries of tomorrow. That will not hold me captive. Why? Because the Lord has listened to my cry and he has saved me. I feel like we've got a lot to praise the Lord about tonight. Praise God. Then in verse 7, and I love this picture. It says, for the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Then it breaks this down in the Amplified, with all inspired reverence and worship him with obedience. There is always an obedience factor with our relationship with God. And then it says, and he rescues each of them. So the angel of the Lord is a guard, or he encamps, he surrounds, and he defends all those who fear him. David is at a low point in his life. He had narrowly escaped death among the Philistines. He's still hunted. He's with a desperate group of men, and yet he's still filled with praise. Praise is not dependent upon who I am or who you are, only on who God is and what his word says. Praise is not dependent upon who I am or upon who you are, only upon God's word and who he says he is, who God is, what his word has to say. Praise God that his word is truth. Praise God for his word. So, all right, the word encamp actually means to pitch a tent. And you all know my husband's all the time telling us to draw a picture in our prayer journal. He's like, I want you to make a chart and a graph and draw a picture. And sometimes I do. And this is what my picture, which is super funny. It made me laugh so hard. You all are going to love this. This is about as nice as my wonderful handwriting. Here's my tent. Here's me. I'm going to wear a skirt. Oh, and a top. That's not a crop top. All right. And I might have hands. And I do have hair. What is this? That's my angel. All right, now get a picture of this. The word encamp actually means to pitch a tent over you. That the angel of the Lord defends, delivers, equips you for a fight, strengthens you, will get you ready, will draw you out, will it causes you to be a soldier, to be an armed man. That God sends an angel of the Lord to strengthen you, that while you're in this position, that he has surrounded you so that you can come out ready to fight. Praise God. Praise God that we are not alone. I'm just so thankful. Then in verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. This is choosing to experience God's word yourself. This is a challenge to seek out God yourself. David can't praise for you. Miss Linda can't praise for me, and I can't praise for her. Now I can lift her up, and she can lift me up. We can encourage one another and hook arms together and pray for one another. But you're going to have to choose to experience God's goodness yourself. How? Well, we just read. By trusting God. Right? I'm going to put God up there. I might need to erase. Oh, hold on. Do you all want me to leave this? I feel like you all are really loving that tent right there. By trusting God. By seeking God. And by looking to God. I'm going to trust. I'm going to seek. I'm going to look. Lord, I'm going to put my eyes on you. Ladies, we like to really overcomplicate things. I don't think that's that complicated. What do we trust God according to? Well, in Psalm 34, we just read according to his word. How do we seek God? You cry out to him. How do we look to God? Through his word, through praise and thanksgiving, by actually putting your eyes on who Jesus says you are. God, what do you have to say about this situation? So with this praise, last week I told you to praise God is to call attention to his glory, that we're blessing the Lord, we're exalting the Lord, we're extolling his name, glorifying, magnifying, we're thanking God, we're confessing God's goodness over our life. In our Trailhead app, we have the message notes for tonight, and you could fill all of this in if you want to. But reasons for praising God. The first one I have for tonight is because God is so good to me. Let's say it. Let's say it. Why are we praising God? Say it after me. Say, because God is so good to me. God is so good to me. In Psalm 100 verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Man, this is a scripture I love for my children. That this is from generation to generation to generation. The unfailing love of the Lord. In Isaiah 25 verse 1. O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things, and you planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. If you're ever having a rough day, maybe this is your reason you put on your card, where you say, Lord, I'm going to praise you because you are my God. I don't belong to this world any longer. Hallelujah. And on top of that, you do such wonderful things for me, Lord. Things that you already planned before I was even a thought in my mama's womb. God, you were thinking about me, knowing I was supposed to be here, and you had a plan to prosper me, to give me a future and a hope. If you're struggling with God's plan for your life right now, or what your future looks like, or you've been hopeless, this is a great scripture for you. This is a reason to praise the Lord. Why? Because it reminds you that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And this is for someone specific. You are not forgotten. You're not forgotten. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You are not forgotten. Then, another set of scripture, the Lord, another reason for praising God. I love Psalm 107 because the Lord has delivered you. We're going to probably go back to the scripture, but I want to go there. Psalm 107, verse 13 through 16. This will go along with our set of scripture for tonight once we get there, of our praise as a weapon scripture. So a reason for praising God in Psalm 107, verse 13 says, Lord, help! They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Verse 14, he led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Verse 15, let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. One translation says the chains were demolished. He has broken those chains. In the darkest gloom, in the darkest pit, God has delivered you. Another reason for praising God, praise defeats despair. Whoo! Despair and discouragement are, in my mind, terrible tag team buddies. They just like to walk around together, stirring up trouble in your life. And typically, if you've been battling discouragement, then it can very easily lead to a fit of despair where it seems all is lost. In Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to combat that lie. It says, to grant, this is in the Amplified, y'all know I love the Amplified, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament or a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. If that was too wordy for you, I'm going to go in my NLT. Isaiah chapter 61. Highlight it. Underline it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Oh, I'm just reading verse 3. And with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. Here we go, verse 3. Sorry, guys, I got excited. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Can't you just picture it? That's who you are. Praise the Lord. Now, our main scripture tonight, we're going to talk about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. We're going to get to that in a second. Before we do that, I want to address the Hebrew words that we're going to find of what we're exactly talking about this evening, of how praise is a weapon. So the first Hebrew word that we're going to address tonight is the word tehillah. And that word, that Hebrew word, it means to praise him with singing. I can write it down. It is in the app, but I will write it down. I think I wrote it down for you all last week. Here we go. For all of you visual learners, I'm a visual learner as well. All right. This is to praise him with singing. Specifically, a spontaneous new song, singing from a melody in your heart by adding words to it, or singing straight to God. I'm singing straight to God. Whenever we just read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, to grant those who mourn in Zion, give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise. That word praise actually means singing instead of a spirit of fainting or of heaviness. That when we come in here on a Sunday morning and we begin to sing to the Lord, we're singing a new song of a heart of praise of God, you have turned this thing around. That God, I'm going to rejoice in you. That there's a new song of praise. Have you ever came in on church on Sunday and it is either a rough week or a tough morning, and naturally speaking,
Your song is one of despair and disgruntledness and complaining up to that point. And then you get in here and the Holy Spirit starts working on your heart. And before you know it, a new song, right? You get the Holy Ghost just, you know, karate chop in the face. And then before you know it, there's a new song of praise and thanksgiving bubbling out of your heart. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, that's between you and God. That's the beautiful thing about making a joyful noise to the Lord. It's not about perfection. It's about your heart. Praise God. Y'all love singing to the Lord? Man, I love to sing to the Lord. All right, our next word tonight. Wait, I've got some more scripture with this. Oh, Psalm 34, 1. The word, when it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That word praise is talking about singing. In Psalm 141, 1, it says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Now, we actually have three Hebrew words in this scripture. The next one, I'll cover the Zamar here in a second, but the next word I want to go over is the word Shabbat. All right, let me get it up here for you guys. You say, why do we need to know this? Well, we talked about it last week. We need to know what it looks like when we come in to praise the Lord. Okay, this is, it's pretty simple, this one. The moment when you just have to shout, of how good God is. Of how good God is. It says actually to properly to address in a loud tone by words, to commend, to glory, to keep in, to praise and triumph. In Psalm 145, verse 4, when it says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts, that's Shabbat. That one generation is going to have a moment when you shout from the rooftops just how good God is. Why are we shouting at the next generation when we should be shouting a praise unto the Lord to the next generation of the goodness of God? This is what praise is. God, that I'm going to shout your praises. Whenever we sing, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph, and we're like, woo. Is that a shout? And then we'll go home. We'll shout at all sorts of things, won't we? I think we've got our shouting confused of what we really should be shouting for. In Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This word branches off, and it goes along Shabbat. It is the word, I'm going to butcher this, R-E-N-A-N-A-H, and it's a ringing cry or a joyful shout. A ringing cry or joyful shout. A ringing cry or joyful shout. That we are to praise God with a shout of triumph. In Psalm 47, verse 1, it says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. As we walk through this, and what this looks like. That word shout goes right along. I'm going to add another word with this. I had a really good time with the word shout. Why? Women were shouting all the... let's just call it out for what it is. Women have a shout that comes natural. It's time to surrender it to the Lord. Okay? It's as simple as that. I can't tell you how many times when my kids were little that I had to surrender my shout to the Lord and ask God and cry out to God for his help. I can't tell you how many times being married, I'm the vocal one in the family, that I've had to surrender my my shout to the Lord and cry out to God for help. That when life is hard, I can either shout in a place of despair and discouragement, or I can have a battle cry of victory that Jesus is Lord. This word right here is the word ruah in the Hebrew, and it actually means to raise a shout. Y'all are going to all be shouting at church on Sunday, and Pastor Josh is going to be like, what is going down? And so this actually means a battle cry. Y'all remember Josh won the Battle of Jericho? That you are making a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, that you're singing a song of praise, that you have a battle cry, that when you cry out and shout, the walls will crumble down. You say, I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Why? Because it's scriptural, and you're a doer of the word of God. Does it look a little different for everybody? Yes. But you have a victory shout. A victory shout. I would encourage you that you go home. And if you got to march around your family room and just say, Lord, I praise you. God, I thank you. I thank you that every step I take is a step made in you. Lord Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. Satan, I'm done with you. Get out of here in Jesus' name. I don't receive your confusion. I don't receive your chaos. My family doesn't belong to you. My children don't belong to you. My marriage doesn't belong to you. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to praise, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to shout. Hallelujah. This is a supernatural battle. Praise God. Also, we can praise him with clapping. I feel like I needed to throw that in there. Some of y'all might wonder why we clap. In Psalm 47, 1 and 2, it says, come everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. Then our final Hebrew word for tonight, and then we're going to touch on Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. And I love this word, and it is the word Barak, and it means to kneel. Have you ever seen someone come up and kneel at the altar and you wonder, what is going on? Why is Pastor Ann kneeling all the time in front of her seat? It means that I'm blessing God as an act of adoration. That I am blessing you, Lord, out of a position of adoration. That I am praising you by bowing down in worship. In Psalm 95, verse 6, it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker in reverent praise and supplication. In Psalm 134, verse 2, it says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless. That word bless is the word Barak, which means kneel and bless the Lord, or kneel before the Lord. When we go to bless God, if you've ever been impressed upon, you don't have to come to the front. You can kneel right. You can kneel wherever you're at. A few years ago, I was in a moment where I had a dear sister went to be with the Lord, and I was having, it was a really hard day. And I was in my bedroom, kneeling before God, crying out in distress. And I actually said this statement. It was on a Saturday. And I said, Lord, I'm going to church tomorrow, but I'm going to cry the whole time. Like, I just, this is what it looks like. I am broken hearted. Right in my spirit, the Holy Spirit said, or you could praise me. 5 minutes later, I get a phone call. Kelly Bardell calls me. She said, hey, the Lord just had me pray for you, and he told me to tell you to praise him. And I just started to weep on the phone. And I said, I was just kneeling before the Lord, and I'd already made a declaration, I'm going to church, but I'm crying. Now, you can still cry and praise. And that's exactly what that Sunday morning looked like for me. But rather than coming in despair and discouragement, I came in from a position to receive and to praise, knowing that God is good, even in the most challenging situations of our life. Of God, I'm going to adore you. Lord, I just surrender and kneel before you. Now, does your flesh want to fight you on this? Yes. We know that our flesh, our spirit man, is constantly at battle with our flesh. Right? We have a spirit. We have a body. Well, we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Who's the real you? Your spirit man. The Word of God tells us a strong spirit sustains a man in times of bodily trouble. That it's time to allow our spirit man to win. And say, flesh, you don't win. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has told me to praise him, and I'm like, I don't want to right now. I want to lay in my bed and do a whole lot of nothing. Am I the only one? Anyone else with me? Or I want to run away, or I want to go to the beach, or I want to, whatever it might be. And then the moment I make a decision to praise, everything changes. Why? Because it gets my eyes off of the problem and on to Jesus. I actually turn praise and worship music on the majority of the time I do the dishes. I really don't like doing the dishes. And I've got 4 kids, y'all. They're all home. I'm doing like 3 loads of dishes a day, even with paper plates. Doesn't even matter. This past week, I put on Upper Room music, the worship, Upper Room worship, and blared it. Like, it was so loud, I was hurting my own ears while doing the dishes. You know that we can praise God and get through just everyday challenging things. Everyday challenging things. All right. I want to finish up with this. I want you to go to Acts chapter 16. And we know the story of Paul and Silas. I want us to get a picture of praise being a weapon, of why we sing, of why we shout, of why we raise a joyful shout unto the Lord, of why we're going to kneel and choose to adore God and just say, God, I'm giving you everything and I'm going to seek your face. In Acts 16, we see Paul and Silas traveling and ministering the gospel. And it actually tells us in the beginning of the chapter that the Lord was directing their steps. Okay, that the Holy Spirit's directing them, and that the Lord had forbidden them to minister in Asia, which in today would be modern day Turkey. Wasn't the right time. I want you to get a picture of what this looks like. They actually went, they picked up Dr. Luke, okay? He's on this journey with them. Paul has a vision that he's to leave for Macedonia at once, that God was calling him to preach the good news in Macedonia. Why? Because Macedonia needed help. So they've been praying. They've been believing God to send people to come in and minister. So Paul and Silas, they reach Philippi. It's a major city. We know Philippians, right? We understand where this comes from. It's a major city of the district of Macedonia. And then they show up, go to the riverbank, where they believe people will be praying. They meet Lydia. We've learned about Lydia. Her whole family gets baptized. God's moving. Hearts are open. It's beautiful. Then it says, one day. You ever just been doing what God's called you to do and you have one of those days? Doesn't take much, does it? Here you are. You're just minding your own business serving Jesus. Before you know it, someone full of the devil just comes up to cause trouble. Let's just call it out for what it is, because that's exactly what's going on here. It says, as we were going down to the place of prayer where they had met Lydia and her family, had this beautiful time,
that this is where the Lord, you know, I put this in my scripture for this one day. Y'all know Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. That on that one day, he still made that day. It's still a choice to rejoice and be glad in it. So they meet a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her employers. She was bound by Satan with a spirit of divination. And here she is, day after day. What it sounds like is she's testifying for them, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation. Paul finally gets so exasperated. Why? Because he doesn't need demonic approval on his life that he rebukes that demon in the name of Jesus and she gets set free. One day, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out now. And immediately that spirit came out. Her master's not happy, okay, no longer having a fortune. So then what takes place? Paul and Silas are dragged, falsely accused. A mob forms against them. The officials say they're to be stripped, beaten with rods, severely beaten, and thrown in prison. Then the jailer is ordered to make sure they did not escape, put them in the innermost dungeon, clapped their feet in stocks. The worst of the worst. And around midnight, y'all know what takes place. Paul and Silas were praying, crying out to God, right? Singing hymns to God, singing straight to God. And the prisoners were listening. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, maybe this is one of your reasons to praise the Lord. A happy heart is good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Paul and Silas had a choice to look to Jesus. They still have a mission to accomplish. God told them to go to Macedonia. Some of us have been in challenging situations, but we're right where God told us to be, and Satan's attacking, and then we start questioning God when we should be praising him in the midnight hour. We start blaming God, or we start looking around thinking about the what ifs, or if I should have done this, or the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. When God's saying, hey, how about you just look to me? Cry out to me. Why don't you just take a moment and sing a song of praise and thanksgiving to me? Why? Because your heart and your mind, this is your spirit and your soul. And when you get that connected to God, you're going to live in a place of health and wholeness. Even in the middle of a challenging situation. You know, I love that the other prisoners were listening. I put on my notes, what a sound to those who are bound. Do you like that? I did. I wrote it and I was like, ooh, I like that. What a sound to those who are bound. Praising God brings a sound of Jesus into the situation. It says, suddenly there was an earthquake. You know, this wasn't any earthquake. It was a supernatural earthquake that just happened to take their chains off and open up the doors. That's a pretty special earthquake, isn't it? The roof didn't cave in. No, you know what I mean? Like, this is a supernatural earthquake. Someone should get excited tonight that whenever you pray and sing a hymn straight to God, that a supernatural earthquake is going to take place in your life, and those chains will be demolished, and those prison doors will be open, and he is setting you free. Praise God. You'll be driving in your car, crying out to God, listening to a worship song, singing a new song unto the Lord, and the Lord can do a miraculous, supernatural healing in your mind. Y'all, I don't limit God when he can do this or how he can. The very foundations of that prison was shaken. There was a great earthquake. In Hebrews chapter 25, I know I don't have time to go there, but it talks about that we're a part of an unshakable kingdom. And then he says that what is God speaking? He says what shakable things need to be shook off. You're a part of an unshakable kingdom. Those shakable things in your life are material things. That you're reigning in this kingdom. So when you sing a song of praise, when you have a shout unto the Lord, the shakable things in your life get shook off, and you're no longer looking at what the world has to say or what the world says you need or what the world, whatever the picture is, you begin to see Jesus in that you're a part of an unshakable kingdom and you are reigning in this world, that you have stability in an unstable world. The jailer's about to kill himself. So Roman law, guards who allowed their prisoners to escape received the penalty of the escaped prisoners. Paul yells out, "Don't kill yourself. We are here." Paul and Silas never forgot who they were in Christ or the call of God on their life as disciples of Christ. Remember, God sent them to Macedonia. Even on that one day when it seems that all hell is breaking loose, did God's call change off their life? No. On our worst day, is God's call changed off your life? No. No, it's not. So the jailer, he calls for a light. He falls down trembling, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, this jailer, he could have been the very one who beat them. Man, we start praising God. We start seeing people the way Jesus sees them. Wow, we start looking at people through God's goodness. Amen. Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved." He shared the word of the Lord with them. He gave them Jesus. This is all from praising God. Then his whole household is saved. You know what I love about this? It says the jailer washed their wounds. He and his whole household were baptized. He fed Paul and Silas. And his entire house rejoiced because they believed in God. Now, the next morning, the jailer, this is super cool, you guys. The very same officials who had them arrested and beaten told the jailer to let them go. Jailer says, "Go in peace. Y'all just go." Paul has Holy Ghost boldness and calls out the accusations. And this is what he says in verse 37. This makes me laugh so hard. Paul says, so the jailer says, "Go in peace." Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison, and we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us." They actually came to the jail and apologized and begged them to leave the city. Isn't it amazing how God is a master restorer and what he will do when we put our eyes on him? What the enemy meant for bad, God turned for his glory. That made me laugh so hard. Then, you know what? They don't just leave. They go back and say hi to Lydia. Okay? They met with other believers. It actually says they encouraged them once more, and then they left on their way. So who do we know that was saved on this journey? We have Lydia's whole family, and then we have the jailer's whole family. And what I love so much about our life when we praise the Lord is that it's always a journey with Jesus. And in two different situations, one just going down to the riverbank, "Oh, Lydia, praise God, you want to receive the Lord? Great." To the other, I'm in the back of the prison praising God, but I'm still going to praise him and I'm still going to give you Jesus. I'm still going to have a shout of praise. I'm still going to kneel before the Lord, my maker. I'm still going to make a choice to be a woman of the word of God, and I will praise the Lord. I'm going to walk into that doctor's appointment and I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to walk out of that doctor's appointment and I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to go to my mailbox and open it up and get all those bills out and I'm going to praise the Lord. Some of you are afraid to go to the mailbox like it's going to surprise you.
March on out there, grab that bill, and speak a blessing over it in the name of Jesus. He rebukes the devourer for your sake as a tither and a giver. God, I praise you that you meet my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness over my life. I am going to praise the Lord. Praise God. And have a victory shout. A journey of praise and thanksgiving. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to stand up. We've got one more minute. Not really. 5 minutes ago, we had one more minute. You know what? I tell you what. Next week, we're going to talk about a sacrifice of praise, which I'm extremely excited about. But recently, the Lord told me to up my praise. That's where Psalm 34 came for me. He said, Anna, you need to up your praise. You've been battling some discouragement. You've been battling some despair. It's time to up your praise. Y'all ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth, a mighty man of God. He said he'd get up in the morning and he would dance before the Lord 15 minutes before he did anything. Now, to the world, that might look goofy. He said, I'm just shaking off what doesn't belong. He actually said, hold on, I've got it. It's one of my favorite quotes. Okay. It's better to shout than to doubt. It's better to rise than to fall. It's better to let the glory out than to have no glory at all. So if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to shout and give God glory and praise. So we're going to take a minute and we're going to lift our hands to the Lord. And we're going to praise his name. Right now, if you just want to speak the name of Jesus, if you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. But take a moment and just tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have turned my mourning into dancing, that I have a garment of praise and thanksgiving. Go ahead and shake off a spirit of heaviness. If you came in here heavy, if you came in here overburdened, overworked, just go ahead and lift up holy hands. You need to shout and rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, I magnify you. Lord, I glorify you. Heavenly Father, you are God. I thank you, Lord, that I've got a voice of triumph. I thank you, Lord, that I don't live in despair. I thank you, God, that I am free, that I am healed, that I am restored. Go ahead. You got to shout over your family. You got to shout over your kids. You've got a voice of triumph in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Some of y'all need to do some crazy praise in your car when you drive home tonight. Some of you need to go home in your bedroom, need to go home in your living room and just have a moment where you just cry out to God. Maybe you need to kneel before your bed and commit some things to the Lord tonight. Have you been carrying around weights and worries and concerns that don't belong to you? It is time for you to give them to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we magnify you. We glorify you, God. You alone are worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its
shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus, we look to you. Lord Jesus, we look to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No shame. Radiant face in the glory of God. Praise God. You know, when I strip off that weight, man, it's a freedom to praise. When I have a moment of repentance before the Lord, y'all, I repent about things all the time. I just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I messed up. God, clean me up. Help me with my attitude. Help me with my words. Anyone else? My precious mama, she's with Jesus. She said, Anna, I'd tell the Lord I'm sorry every night before I go to bed. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. I probably did something today. My mama was a character too. But she said, this is what she said though. I just want to make sure that my heart is always right before the Lord. She wasn't getting saved again. She's just saying, Lord, forgive me. Help me. I need you. Lord, I'm living for you. She's just living for Jesus. Praise God. Any of y'all, you enjoy knowing, well, my handwriting is insane. You enjoy knowing what it looks like scripturally of why we praise. Have any of y'all ever came in here and you're like, what is going on? Now you know, a Holy Ghost party. We're just being biblical in this house. Praising God. It's time to get biblical, right? Are we women of the word? Yes, we are. Are we doers of the word? Yes, we are. Are you going to have an opportunity to praise God this week? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Maybe it's while you're doing the dishes or wiping those baseboards down. Praise God. Ladies, thank you. Thank you. Hey, if you don't know someone, give someone of those just holy hugs, healing hugs. I call them healing hugs. Hanada's probably got 20 or 25 in her, okay? And next Wednesday, we will be back. I'm going to minister again. We're going to talk about a sacrifice of praise, and I'm really excited. We're going to continue. We still have a couple more words to finish in Hebrew, but it's going to be great. The last Wednesday of the month, we're going to have a wonderful praise and prayer service and a dinner. It's going to be $5 that you can purchase. It's going to be great. Zana's going to be hooking us up, and it's going to be awesome. If you want to help her out and be a part of that with hospitality, let her know. I'm sure she would receive the help. And it's fun getting connected and just being a part of what God's doing, isn't it? Yes, it is. All right. I love you guys. Y'all be blessed.